girl I've gotten to know over the last year in recovery, and I really appreciate her recovery. And with no further comments, I give you Kaylee B.
My name's Kaylee, and I'm an addict. They asked me to, or Dave asked me to read this, so I'm going to. The NA speaker chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced with Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or the war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. I'm Kaylee again. I'm really nervous. I can feel my face turning bright red, but, you know, I tried to take a nap. I've been up since 5:45 in the morning. I tried to take a nap. I fell asleep for about 15 minutes, and then I prayed up until it was time to leave the hotel to come here. So hopefully God will take over, and I'll be able to get through this. I was told that I can go as long as I want, but I can't go under 25 minutes, and that's going to be a really big struggle for me. Even when I share in meetings back home, I keep it to like a minute and a half or 2 minutes tops. I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I moved to Winchester, Virginia when I was 19, and I haven't used since November 27th of 2004. I celebrated my 21st birthday March 17th, and if you don't know what day that is, that's St. Patrick's Day. And I stayed clean through it. I've done a lot of things in recovery, and I plan on doing a lot more. I know I'm not supposed to project, but, you know, I do. Dave's sitting here counting to me, so if I seem a little distracted, the thing is I have this bet with a friend of mine who's not even here, and if two more people walk through this door, I have to pay him $25. But, so anyway, so my topic is, will the real me please stand up? And I was sitting here, and I was thinking about it, and, you know, I didn't even bring a basic text tonight because I could sit here and I could quote to you all of the stuff in the literature that it says about ourselves, like the mask must come off and the real value is in being ourselves. But, you know, before I got clean, I didn't have a me to stand up. And I can share on any topic that you give me, but I don't know if it's going to be from the heart. I can share on any line in the basic text, but it probably won't be honest. And so I decided not to bring it. I decided to just let whatever comes out, come out, come out. And, you know, I can remember when I was little, like, I was an ugly kid growing up. And that's the truth. You can ask my boyfriend. He even said it. He saw pictures of me, and he said it. And, I was an ugly kid growing up, so I never felt like I was adequate enough with the other girls, you know, up until about ninth grade, I would say. I never felt like I was good enough to hang out with anyone. I wanted to isolate. I stayed in my house a lot. I didn't go out, and then all of a sudden, you know, my face cleared up, and I didn't have to sit at the table with just one other person anymore, and I was invited to sit with, like, some other people, and then I found drugs, and I went right back. And actually, I was pretty much banned from the lunchroom. I had to take my lunch in the art room. And, you know, so the thing was, like, I never knew who I was, and on any given day, I still don't know who I am. And once I got into recovery, you know, because I had gotten clean and I had used, and I had gotten clean and I had used, and I had been doing this dance since I was 15 when I first went into to an NA meeting. I found NA when I was 15 and I got clean when I was 19. And, you know, I got clean and I got into recovery, and I decided that I was just done. I can remember the last time I used. I can tell you like it was yesterday, but I'm not going to. I don't find it necessary. There are a lot of things that I didn't do when I was using. And, you know, if I tell you my story, it might not be bad enough for you. It might not have made you stop, but it made me stop. And that's really all that matters here tonight, is that I've been clean and I've done a lot of things. I have, you know, like I also hear people coming up here and talking about how they've slept with their sponsees, you know, significant others. I've never done that. Like I hear about how they slept with like 50 people in their first year. I didn't do that. And, you know, I haven't done anything in recovery that I'm ashamed of. You know, I've done things that I'm not proud of, but I haven't done anything that I'm ashamed of. And that's because I decided when I got here that I was going to live my life with dignity. And I am extremely proud of the things that I've done since I've been clean. I'm extremely proud of the things that I've done since I've been in recovery. And I can tell you I've been in recovery since I got clean. I worked my first step in treatment. I have not even 18 months clean, and I'm sitting in between my sixth and seventh step because my sponsor told me she doesn't want me to go into my seventh step until she's sure that I'm entirely ready, or until I'm sure that I'm entirely ready. And I hate sitting. It drives me crazy. I hate feeling stagnant. I came in here to grow. Like a lot of people come in here and say they didn't come in here for a new way of life. Well, I did. I came in here to get clean, to be happy. I didn't come in here through courts. I didn't come in here for my parents this time. I came in here because I had nowhere else to go and because I was just so sick of living my life the way that I was living. I wasn't scared of dying. I was scared of living life one more day the way that I was. And I'm still that scared. That's why I didn't, you know, sleep with 50 people my first year, and that's why I've never slept with a sponsee significant other, because I don't want to feel that pain that comes along with it. And that's why I live my life with so much dignity. I can say that. And a lot of people think a lot of things. A lot of people think I'm a snob, because I'll tell you if I'm not comfortable with something. I'll tell you if I'm not comfortable with you doing or saying something around me, and you can perceive it however way you want. And you know what? You might not like me, and nobody in this room might like me, but somebody out there will. And I like me, and the God of my understanding likes me, and this changes. It changes so often. I'm not going to, like, I am insecure. I have found out through working my fourth step and through working my sixth step that everything that I ever did in my life is because I am insecure. And just because, if this is to anyone who's on your fourth step, just because you find these things out doesn't mean it stops. Doesn't mean it gets better. You have to work on it. And when I don't want to work that day, I'm a wreck inside. When I want to sit there and be lazy and be stagnant again, I am a complete and total wreck, and I can't stand the sight of my own face again. And so that's what keeps me working. That's why I hate sitting in between steps. But you know what? I have developed a better relationship with God in the past month and a half that I've been sitting than I ever thought possible. I've prayed probably about 15 times today. And I was, even up until like a year, I was praying once in the morning, once in the night, and if it was an extreme emergency. And I thought that I couldn't ask for too much from God, because he might get tired of me asking. And I finally come to realize that that's not the case. You know, he might say no, he might not give me something, but it doesn't mean that he's tired of me asking. It doesn't mean that he's tired of me, just like I thought everyone in my whole life was. I feel like if you don't answer your phone for me, you're purposely ignoring my calls. And you know why I feel like that? Because I do it to people. I have ignored sponsees' phone calls. I have ignored friends' phone calls. I ignore a lot of phone calls, if you want to know the truth. And it usually takes about 10 minutes before I feel guilty enough to call the person back. I have a really, really, really big conscience today. And it doesn't take much to weigh on that. But I don't ignore it like I did when I was using. I think I had a really, really, really big conscience then, too, but I just ignored it by shooting dope. And, you know, I was listening to somebody share... Oh, I don't know if that... Okay. I was listening to somebody share earlier, and they were saying, tell me about how you stopped, you know, using drugs. Tell me about how you stopped using drugs. I held on. That's how I stopped using. I didn't use. I don't care about that. You know, everybody in this room is clean tonight. And whether you have 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 15 years, it doesn't really matter to me because nobody in here is using. You're an inspiration to somebody. The person with 2 days is an inspiration to the person with 24 hours. And, oh, I just totally drew a blank. But I did want to share one thing. This was one thing that I knew I wanted to share. I thought when I came in here that I had to be accepted by everybody, and I got this job, and I'm working the same job, but I had it when I had like 60 days clean, and I wanted to be accepted by them, and so I would go in, and they're not addicts, by the way, they still drink, and I would go in, and I would sit there, and I would listen to them tell me about their night, and I would sit there and talk to them about when I used to drink, how crazy I was, what I used to do. And then I would come in here, and I would share like I was working some really spiritual program, like I was this prim and proper girl, and I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I wanted to be. I didn't know who, you know, if I was the girl that was back in Pittsburgh that didn't care about anyone, anything, or if I was just this big, you know, prude, as people used to call me when I got clean. And I had to find a happy medium. And I found it. And the only reason that I'm not scared of being myself is because I put a lot of work into myself. I put a lot of work into the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. I have a sponsor, and I don't put enough work into that relationship. I have sponsees, and I don't put enough work into those relationships, but I do the best that I can sometimes. And not all the time, but... I don't know, like, I'm really honored that you guys asked me to speak. Oh, my God, I still have 15 more minutes. So, will the real me please stand up? My face is getting red again. When... 53 people is the official head count right now. A friend of mine from Pittsburgh came up today, and she was sitting there, and I was having a discussion with one of the women that's in my H&I, or that's in the H&I in our area, and I don't like H&I. I've tried it. I bring meetings in, and I don't like it. And the three of us were having a discussion, and I threw a little bit of a temper tantrum. And the reason that I know that I've grown up since I've been clean and the reason that I know that I've changed since I've been clean is the fact that after it was all over, and it lasted about 10 seconds, after it was all over, my friend looked at me and she said I could just feel the wrath coming, and then all of a sudden it was over. And I used to, my family used to have to walk on eggshells around me because they never knew when I was going to explode. And sometimes... I explode on random people for no reason. I'll sit there and I'll pound the wheel of my steering wheel in my car when it breaks down, because it breaks down a lot. And, you know, like, I sit there and I pray and everything's okay. And God has just been really good to me, and this program has just been really good to me. You know, if you would have told me a year, less than a year and a half ago that I would be up here, I would not have believed it. If you would have told me 2 months ago that I would have been up here, I would not have believed it, but I am. And, you know, I might not be the best speaker that you've ever heard, and I might not be, you know, the most spiritual person, and I might not have worked the most steps, but I'm up here, and I'm not lying to you about who I am. I'm sitting here, and I'm telling you, I struggle with the relationship with my sponsor. I thought tonight about getting a new sponsor. I struggle with having sponsees. I struggle with answering the phone. I sit there and watch it ring sometimes. I struggle with having relationships, period. I want people to put all of their time and all of their efforts into relationships with me, but I don't want to put anything back. And that's been like it my whole life. I've been spoiled rotten, and I take advantage of people, and I try not to today. I push for things, and then I stop once I realize I'm doing it, because I do it subconsciously still. You know, I'm going to share one story, and I'm going to stop, but I think I can draw it out. I've always been somebody to rush into things. I've never liked to be alone in relationships. And I met this guy. And we had been friends for a while before we started to see each other. And I remember the one time, and this is the last time that I purposely stayed up this late. And I can't even believe that half of the people are up this late, because I'm not up this late. He was over, and we hadn't been having sleepovers yet. And we hadn't been having sleepovers yet, and I just wanted to spend like every waking second with him, and I wanted him to stay over so bad, but I was so scared to tell him because I was scared that he would reject me. And I wanted so badly to tell him that, like, the feelings that I had, and I just couldn't bring myself, and I was fighting it, and I was fighting it, and I was fighting it, because that's what I had done my whole life. Is I fought against my feelings. I fought against the insecurity while I was paralyzed by it. My insecurities have paralyzed me. And he would stay over till like 2:30, and then he'd be like, okay, well, I'm going home. And I'd say, oh, thank God, I could go to sleep. And he would leave, and I would lay there, and I would just hate myself because I could not tell him how I felt. And then I finally got the courage. And I can tell you, like, we pray together today out loud, on our knees, praying together out loud. I'm 21 years old, and I'm in a healthy relationship. I never thought that I could be in a relationship. You know, I thought that I had accepted the fact that I was going to go my entire life without ever really loving another person. And, you know, whether it be a woman or a man or my mother, because I remember being young and asking my grandmother, what does love feel like? Because I don't think I love anyone. Mm-hmm. And she had to sit there and explain to me that it's okay not to feel love all the time. It doesn't mean that you're heartless. And I was 10 years old. And, you know, like, I love more people today than I had in my life ever. And the person I'm in a relationship with is probably one of the best people that I've ever known. And I never would have been able to accept that love if it wasn't for this fellowship and for this program and recovery. And that's all I have. So thank you for letting me share.